I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I can't say it better than my guest said it today, so I'm just going to read his words. He says, the human soul is a built-in yearning for joy and beauty and all good things. But that craving for life has taken a real beating in recent years. Between false promises of ease and comfort on one side and the sheer trauma of global disease and disasters on the other, people today are facing a shortage of peace, of happiness, and strength. One of my favorites, John Eldridge, joins me today to talk about his newest book. It's an amazing read, Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times. Who does not need this message? We got a handful of copies to give away. I'm so grateful. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement, all this month we are focusing on the theme of forgiveness. You'll just hear it in some of our imaging and programming, and we're going to dedicate a whole day to forgiveness. But as we've been entering this conversation around resilience, nothing wears the soul down more. Maybe that's an overstatement, but maybe not. But unresolved hurt that where it's in your court where it's time for you to forgive. And I just pray as the Lord just speaks to you in this next hour, if there's someone that you have kind of a angst against, that you would do the wrestling with the Lord, get back to a place of peace and remove the enemy out of the conversation, out of the equation. God is a God of justice and He'll make things right, but He wants your heart healed. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. John Eldridge is a best-selling author, counselor, and teacher. He's also president of Wild at Heart. It's a ministry devoted to helping people discover the heart of God and recover their own hearts in God's love. That's just my favorite. And to learn to live in God's kingdom. He and his beautiful wife, Stacy, live near Colorado Springs, Colorado. John, dear brother, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Susie. It's been too long since we had a good conversation.
I have really noticed it as well. So I'm so grateful to have you today. And I know you guys, you're really good about just the ebb and the rhythm and the flow of life, because there's times I'm aching to talk to you, but there's times where you are writing or you're on the road. And I just love that, because I know I'm going to get a healthy yes or no from you, but whenever I can get you, I will take you. So it's so good. Well, you know, we love to start every day making this personal. I'm just wondering, in your own time with the Lord, what's He been talking to you about these days?
Honestly, moving more deeply into His love, I just realize how much I keep taking all that need to people, and it's not fair to do that to them. And I just feel the invitation of our Father. It's like, bring all that into me. And it's actually been very, very good. It's been very intimate.
Wow. That someone need to hear that today. Maybe you've got some strain in relationships because you're looking to them to meet a need that God wants to meet. This is why I asked that question. That is so fantastic. Okay, of all the topics you could address, talk about resilience, how the Lord inspired you and said, this is your next project, and define it for us.
Well, I think maybe it started just personally. Coming out of the last 2 years and all the global, you know, crazy and pandemics and politics and tension and heartache, I found myself pretty weary, pretty depleted. And as I began to listen to some of my counseling clients, I began to talk to my staff, I started realizing that just about every single person I talked to was. And it got me reflecting on Everybody's trying to put it all in the rearview mirror. And this is classic trauma behavior, by the way. We get through it and we don't want to talk about it. And we're like, we got tacos back, we got concerts, we can travel now, everything's good. And I'm over here going, I don't think it is. I don't think we are. I want to help people recover their resilience.
Amen. I've been saying that, you know, since the beginning of 2020 on this show, saying we are going to have a traumatized world when this is all over. And this stuff is going to bring up our own unresolved stuff. So we've got to lean in and go after it so that we can help a world heal that's going to need to be healed. You know, you talked about even earlier on in 20 and 21, how many people hit that breaking point where they were just saying, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And some who've made that decision have wandered from the faith. I mean, scripture talks about the great falling away and the kind of the great exit. Talk about that dynamic. I know it's complex, and you said this in the book. There are varying reasons why people walk away from the faith, but it is predicted in scripture. And boy, this is the atmosphere for a lot of pressure on the saints. So what would you say?
I love talking to you. Way to go. Like, yeah, that's the epicenter. Boom. So we are seeing, and Susie, it's like in the data, but it's also on my phone. I'm getting texts and emails from really beautiful people, very mature people who have reached a point that they are tapping out on God. Mm. And it's heartbreaking. And we're seeing it in our church. We're seeing it in our community. And I think what's going on is this. And when I reach into each individual story, there's always some real heartache. There is a place of pain. There's a place of disappointment. But he didn't heal my mom. But we weren't able to get pregnant. And those places are very real. And they're raw. But what folks aren't aware of is that in our depleted condition, and everybody is wrung out, we are all really depleted, that kind of disappointment becomes the vulnerable place in us that the enemy just jumps on and says, see, God isn't there for you. He's not listening to your prayers. And they are coming under what I think is a global phenomenon right now. I do think that we are in the midst of that Second Thessalonians falling away, and we've got to protect our hearts in this hour, knowing that the heartache's real, that the point of pain is real. God can meet us in that, but we just don't realize how deeply depleted our reserves are. Everybody's reserves are really, really low. And so it's just too easy to make agreements with, you know what, I think I'm done.
Mm. You know, we got a handful of friends who are doctors in different spheres of influence, and they would all tell you, as far as health goes, one, preventative care is of utmost importance. It just, you know, how the pandemic really showed, you know, how important it is to be taking care of yourself before the storm. So preventative care. But then two, that you can deal with so many ailments that don't have to go off the rails if you treat early. And I was thinking that same thing applies to the condition of the heart, to preventative care and then treat early. And I think what the enemy got away with isolation, is that these things started to surface. Doubts and hurts and disappointments weren't treated early because we were isolated. And I'd love for you to speak to that, because I am seeing so much. We need each other. And I've studied this, John, that even when we're in community, that actually raises our immunities. Our immunities drop when we're isolated. So it feels like a perfect storm in so many ways. But maybe for the sake of that person who's feeling kind of that things have been lingering and surfacing, and they're tempted to tap out, when really what they need is a community of faith around them.
Yes, because God wants to attend to those heartaches. He does. Those matter. He wants to come into those disappointments. They're very real, but we need help to do that. And it's really, really hard to process all that stuff on your own. It's to get with friends, to get to coffee, to get to a small group, to see a therapist, to get in conversation with people about what's going on, because you said, you know, the first 10 minutes of this show have been so phenomenally rich. You said earlier that the trauma of the last 2 years is going to surface other trauma, folks. You were warning people about that. And that's exactly how trauma works. It doesn't callous you to it. It doesn't make you harden to it. It actually sensitizes you to it. And so the disappointments of the last couple of years. And, you know, you may not have lost someone. You may have kept your job. You know, you may have been able to make it work from home on Zoom and all that. But I guarantee you, you are depleted. And it does bring up the unattended issues in our hearts and souls that need caring for. And I think that could be the silver lining, is that, okay, well, God is raising these things in us. Let's go get some healing.
Amen. You know, I think that was one of the significant reasons the Lord raised up your ministry all those years ago. You know, I've heard from so many men over the years, because I think it's harder for men. Men are wired, or at least there's a cultural stigma to deny what's going on in your heart. But the men who've gotten in touch with their heart and the hurts that have happened, where they could really find themselves in God's love, are the ones who are the most free. And we as women, I feel like we're a little more bent to go there a little quicker. But all of us right now need to be tending to what's going on inside, so we can tend to what God has assigned us to on the outside, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think you're right about the isolation piece. It was particularly hard on men, because the pandemic took away most of men's connecting points. You know, the gyms were closed, all the ball games were closed, and all the backyard barbecues were closed, right? And so the normal connecting place for guys, and people are reluctant to enter back in. I heard of a recent study that said last-minute cancellations is the new thing right now. Mm. And people, you know, are getting invited to stuff. We're trying to get going. We're trying to get our wheels going again. But people get to the moment when it's time to go to the barbecue and they tap out. And it's because of that reserves thing that I want to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pause. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about resilience, because one of the things you said is one of the most remarkable things about human beings is how resilient we can be. Yet one of the most surprising things about us as well is how resilience can evaporate in a moment. So what are we to do? Can you build resilience? Are you born with it? Can you cultivate it in your life? And if it's true that it can shift that quickly, what kind of guardrails can we put in place? How can we walk in a holy strength to navigate the storms of our day? Talking to John Eldridge, his new book, Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times. I love the subtitle, because it's not after the turbulent times. Right here, right now, restoration is available to you. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
I let out the sails of my heart. Here I am, here you are. I let out the sails of my heart. Here I am, here you are.
Thank you, Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend John Eldridge. He's just one of my favorites, and his book is titled Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times. And one of the things, John, you said in the book is that what's so remarkable about human beings is how resilient we can be, but what's so surprising about us as well is how that resilience can evaporate in a moment. Have you identified a common denominator, a reason as to why it can evaporate so quickly? And then why are some people more resilient than others?
Yeah, because some people do seem to be born with a greater capacity, frankly, to endure pain. If you look at the great athletes in the world, most of them, it's just their ability to endure more pain than their comrades. But I think what happens, the breaking point is for all of us, is when you hit that low reserves, that you just got nothing left. That's for every person, that's the tipping point. And when you go through something like a pandemic or a wedding, a birth of a child, good things too, you tap into your reserves in order to rally, things that require us to rally. And, you know, a special needs child, aging parents that need care. You have to tap into your reserves to come through and to rally. And we all did, and everybody rallied. Way to go, everybody. Good job. But at some point, if you don't pay attention to those reserves, you're just running on fumes. And you get to that place where you just say, I got nothing left. And these are all the clients I've seen over the years in my counseling offices. They just reach the point to say, I think I'm done with this marriage. I think I'm done with my faith. I think I'm done with God or whatever the expression may be. So it's so important to realize what we're naming today is a real act of kindness. We're saying, look, folks, we all just went through 2 years of global trauma. To have your normal life taken away, to have all that high octane tension put in, the masks, the vaccines, I mean, it split churches. And then, you know, to have fear in the culture, to have death in the culture, and then nobody knew where the finish line was. They kept moving the finish line. You tapped into your reserves in order to rally, to get to work, to get your kids educated, all that. And so now we really need to pay attention to the condition of our own well-being and how God can replenish those reserves, or we're going to get to the place where we realize, wow, you know, tacos and travel isn't actually restoring my soul. I need help.
Oh, wow. You know, that's such a different message than when some are kind of doing the buck up buttercup, you know, buck up buttercup, you got to just get on and get with
yep.
it. But you say, which I love, is you got to be a little bit kinder to your soul than that, because that only will take you so far, the bootstrap buck up or whatever. I mean, there's times when I'm working out that I tell myself to buck up. But when you're hurting and someone tells you to buck up, it's not the same thing. And, you know, you can tell what you need, like if you receive compassion and tenderness and it's like a healing balm. Man, pay attention to that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was talking to three of my colleagues this last week, and these are very mature people. They live smart. They don't make dumb decisions for the most part. They're good folks. And I was shocked to hear all three of them tell me, I'm running on empty. I'm like, really? Because you guys are like at the forefront of recovery. You practice soul care. You live with God. You are mature, emotionally mature. And yet, you know, they find themselves in a depleted state. And the good news is this. This isn't, what'd you call it, bootstraps and buck up. It's not. Let me recite to us all Ephesians 3. The prayer that Paul gives to us. He says, I pray that your Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, would strengthen you by his Spirit in your inmost being so that Jesus could fill your heart. Mm. And what I love about that prayer, Susie, is that it's the very opposite of get your act together. God wants to breathe into us new life. He wants to impart to us resilience. And that's why Christian resilience, gospel resilience, is a very, very different kind than resilience in the world. You know, everybody's chatting about this now. Mindfulness and exercise and wilderness training programs and all that stuff. But that's all bootstrap. What I want folks to know, the good news is God wants to give you his own life. He wants to breathe it into you. He knows your tanks are empty. Christian resilience is union with Christ, which allows the beauty of his life into our need. That's good news.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, thinking about whenever you go through kind of a prolonged trial, it seems like it's the flesh's nature to indulge, to say, I deserve this now. And we often think of treating ourselves with things that actually weaken us. Now, I'm not being a legalist, you know, have a bowl of ice cream if you want. But I'm saying, and you address this in the book, if you're not really paying attention to what you just come through's impact on you, you will default to indulgences and kind of numbing things, thinking, you know what, this is the stuff that I missed, you know, but what kind of as a substitution for what our soul needs. But where I, as you're saying, you go to Jesus first for him to fill you up, suddenly the backyard barbecue or tacos or whatever, suddenly they taste so much better. So talk about, because it's not semantics, it's putting one before the other and what a difference that makes.
No, it's huge. It's huge because we warn people, we're in the midst of a perfect storm right now, folks. And the perfect storm is that our hearts are really worn down and we're rushing out to get relief by concerts and getting, you know, vacation time. But concerts don't heal trauma. And what's going to happen is we're going to circle back to our normal lives and we're going to find ourselves very disappointed that those little indulgences didn't do it. And then the enemy pounces. Then the feelings of desolation come in. And that's the perfect storm. I think the enemy set us up for this moment, by the way. Let's wear everybody out. Let's tempt them to relieve with, you know, things that are fine. Tacos are fine. I love tacos. But it's not enough. It won't heal. And then he's going to come into our disappointment with feelings of just desolation. And I'm done. And I'm tapping out. And so when we're talking about the resilience that God can breathe into us, we need to make something clear to folks. We're not just talking about faith. We're not talking about obedience. We're talking about union with Christ. Your soul is literally made to be united with the life of God. That's how it works. I am the vine, you are the branch. You literally are meant to be integrated into the life of Jesus Christ. And then he is able to breathe into you and bring into you everything you need, whether it's wisdom or forgiveness, as your theme is this month, and being able to forgive out of the forgiveness of Jesus. He can do that in us, but it requires union with him.
Boy, when you think about the fact, and we can talk maybe more about this on the other side of the break, as you mentioned, you know, some seem to be just born with resilience. You know, my hubby always says, whenever a young man who's raised on a farm comes in and applies for a job for one of his job sites, he'll hire him every time. He's like, I can teach him the other stuff, but that guy has work ethic. You know, there's some people that are just born with kind of grit. But then you say, but don't despair if you're not that person, because the Lord himself is the one who can put that in you. He chooses the weak, you know, to shame the strong. In our weakness, his strength is made known. So if you're not, I wasn't born with resilience, but I see that the Lord has cultivated in me. And maybe you're in the long battle now. And maybe a good question is, Lord, what are you wanting to say to me? What do you want to do in me? How do you want to work through me? On the other side, let's talk more about how it is cultivated. What is our part, John, to work with God and walk with God so that we are resilient for the days in which we live? John Eldridge is my guest today, New York Times best-selling author. His book, his new one, it's going to be another runaway hit, I think, Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times. If you feel weary, but you don't want to tap out, you want to stay the course, you want to finish the race, this book will encourage you greatly. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. More with John Eldridge in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to John Eldridge today about his new book, Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times. We've been talking about, as scripture predicts, a great falling away. But as he says, many people are tapping out, saying, I'm done, and walking away from God. When really what's happening is they need to be taking their weary soul, their broken heart, right to the one who created their heart and will restore their soul. We want you to last long and finish strong. We need resilience. So how do we get it? Well, John says this, God wants to make his life available to you. Remember, he's the creator of those beautiful places you wish you could go to for sabbatical. All that beauty and resilience, all that life, well, it comes from God. And he wants to impart a greater measure of himself to you. Maybe start there. Do you believe it? He wants to impart a greater measure of himself right here, right now, in the middle of your story. Well, we've got a handful of copies of this great book to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So before the break, we were talking about some people seem just sort of born with a certain kind of grit and resilience, like, I'm not giving up. Yeah, I'm not backing down. But the rest of us needs to be cultivated. So talk about just our own practice and the way we walk with God to find his strength become our own.
Yeah, it's first off, it's understanding that God wants to have a united life with you, that it's not just faith, it's not only obedience, but the primary thing is, I am a vine, you are branches, please come, I want you to unite with me. So if I were you, here's what I'd do. I would get quiet every morning and every evening, just get quiet. I would pick one worship song that you love. Now, not rock and roll, not aerobics worship, not high adrenaline stuff. There's a place for that. I love some of that. But something quiet. And you literally have a morning and the evening practice of, I'm just going to get quiet. I'm going to listen to this and I'm going to love Jesus. Loving Jesus brings us into union with him. And it literally opens the soul like flowers in the morning open back up to the sunshine. As you love Jesus, it opens your soul to his help. It opens your soul to union with him, and he's able to impart himself to you. In some ways, it's that simple.
Wow. I love this, too. You said your current emotional state, does it reflect your confidence that Jesus is absolute Lord of everything on earth, galaxies to governments, that his church is center stage, not the world, that Christ is going to get the final word? That is the mindset. That's the, you know, that the hope, that's the anchor for our souls. I would love for you to talk about our rogue thoughts, because, you know, we can go to those places where we're rehearsing our trials over these last couple of years. But as we go to those places where we rehearse his faithfulness, you know, he even says, do you remember when I parted the sea? Remember that? That ain't nothing. I'm about to do something new. There's something about getting good at remembering that we have a history with God so we can know that we have a future with him. I mean, talk about just advice maybe for us as to how to renew our minds so that our confidence in the character of God will grow.
Yeah. Yeah. So the war is for your attention, folks. What has your attention? If you spend 30 minutes a day on the news or on social media, you need to understand that you've just been given a narrative. You've just been given a worldview, right? And it's fear and it's anger and it's upset about this and upset about that. You go, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you want resilience, you got to counter that with 30 minutes of truth. Listen to scripture, read good Christian work, listen to great Bible podcasts. Like, you've got to get your mind back on what's true. The story of God is still the story of the world. It's not the latest thing. You know, what's so sad to watch right now, but you know, the war in Eastern Europe is already fading from the news. Now, the war is not over. It's just that people have an incredibly short attention span. And it's just the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And so if you are caught up in all of that, you know, the media input, your Instagram, you know, all your accounts, you are caught up in the chaos. And it's not going to bring peace and it's not going to bring resilience. So you've got to counter that, you know, well, for one thing, listen to Susie Larson's show every day. That'll do it. but you see what I mean, people? Like, the war is for your attention. What has your attention? And it's as we come back to some of the beautiful bedrock truths. I literally found myself yesterday. This is just yesterday, driving down the road. And I just had to keep repeating this to myself. I am yours. You are mine. I am yours. You are mine. I was upset by a number of things. I was totally in a small story. I needed to get back into a big story. And so I just saying to God over and over, I am yours. You are mine. That's how we win the war for our minds.
Boy, so good. Angie, if I could have a little prayer music under me, I want to read one of the prayers from John's book. I just want to provide you with just one of those healing balm moments. And John has a lot of prayers like this. John, I hope it's okay, me reading your content.
Oh,
I want to spring it on you.
I'm gonna pray with you.
All right. This is just so beautiful. So let's pray, friends, and just pray that you enter in and really believe that you are His and He is yours. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, God of all creation, God of the thunderstorm and the waterfall, I need your strength. I need the strength that prevails. I don't want to fall away. I don't want to lose heart. So I choose you, Lord, above all things. I give you my allegiance. I give you my undivided love. I choose single-heartedness towards you, Lord Jesus, body, soul, and spirit, heart, mind, and will. I pray, oh God, for supernatural resilience. Fill me with your overcoming strength, a victorious strength. I pray for strength that allows me to escape all that is coming against the saints in this hour. Fill me, God, with resilience. By faith, I receive it, and I thank you for it. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's amazing what that does for the soul. Prayer is just so powerful, and asking God for the things we need is His invitation to us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and particularly asking for resilience right now, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the deal. That's the offer. It's good news. This isn't a gym membership, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking you to go work out. We're asking you to ask God for His strength.
Amen. You say that Christians right now, where we are actually designed to live in and enjoy the benefits of two ecosystems, two realities, the physical and the spiritual, earth and heaven. And you say, if you've ever experienced the comfort of God or the love of God, that was heaven coming to you here on earth. If you've had the joy of hearing Jesus speak to you, if He brings you scriptures, songs that stir your heart, that's heaven coming into your natural world. And there's so much more to discover. Unpack that idea of two ecosystems, two realities, and how a little bit of heaven comes to earth.
Yeah, we are amphibians, okay? We live in the natural world, and we enjoy the ocean and the beach, and we enjoy dinner with friends and music and all that stuff, sunshine. It's all very nourishing. But we also are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are surrounded by God all the time and His kingdom. It's like oxygen. You don't see it, but it's keeping you alive every moment. It's like that. It's God is all around us. And because of the modern era and most of our education, we are materialists. We only focus on the immediate physical things around us. But the kingdom of God, in the book of Hebrews, says you are surrounded with angels and the company of glad saints. We live surrounded by the... I just call it the rest of reality. So here's the deal. You take a frog, who is a real amphibian, and you keep a frog only in a tank of water, it will die because it needs to get out, you know, once in a while on land. But if you put it in a terrarium on land where there's no water, it will die. It needs both ecosystems. It needs to move between both worlds. So when Paul is praying, for example, we come back to that Ephesians prayer, I pray that God your Father would strengthen you by His Spirit in your inmost being. That's being an amphibian. That is the kingdom of God, the presence of God. It's a reality. We're not just blowing sunshine here, people. Like, this is a real thing. God's presence is real, and He comes into your humanity. That's the natural part. So you have the supernatural coming into the natural to restore us. And the reason I brought this up is because I don't think we're going to make it without this. Too many Christians have tried to live this life just in the natural world, and it won't work. That we need the presence of the living God. We need His life, His love. Okay, here's another example. So in John 7, Jesus says, if you love me, if you believe me, the river of life will flow through your heart. Rivers of living water will flow from their inmost being. You can go look it up. He said it. Okay, well, there it is. That's heaven and earth again. Here is you, human, but flowing through you, flowing through your heart. is the river of life. And I just realized I never asked for it. I never asked for it. So I began asking for it, and he began giving it.
Wow. I love that. We're going to pause here, take a little bit of early break, because I want to give you as much time on the other side as you need. You mentioned in the book, John, in the summer of 21, walking through a kind of a dark night of the soul, and you talked about the word desolation. And I felt like that so captures really the enemy's intent for the saints, for everybody. But when saints get to that place, he feels like he's got us backed into a corner. So I'd love to know as much as you want to share, but then when and how the clouds broke, and advice you have for the person who finds himself in that place of desolation right now. Talking to John Eldridge, his book, amazing book. Again, he's one that writes like he speaks. The title is Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times. We'll be back in a minute.
There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Holy is the Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend John Eldridge about his excellent new book, Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times. This book is a healing balm for the weary soul. If that's you, please text in to get in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. So grateful. So as much as you feel like sharing, John, you mentioned in the book, at summer of 21, I believe, you walk through kind of a dark night of the soul. Would love to just know kind of just sort of the symptoms of that, what you felt like, and then how the sun finally broke through the clouds.
Yeah, I'm happy to. We were in a really rough place in some family relationships. It was getting very, very painful, and it was feeling like betrayal. But I kept hearing from Jesus, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I felt like I had a promise from God that wasn't coming true. And then instead of things getting better, they got worse. And these are people very close to us. And it was bringing a lot of heartache into our lives. But what was making it worse was the sense of, wait a second, God, I thought you were in this. I thought you offered help. And so it was that double sense, right? Not only am I hurting, but I feel like God isn't helping. And that's when the enemy pounces. Right in that moment. And it sometimes Jesus will let us go through things so that we understand what's happening in the world. I know he does that with you. He does it with me. And what he showed me, I experienced it. So again, here's the amphibian thing. We are humans, and we have human emotions and thoughts and lives and relationships. But there's a spiritual world all around us, friends. And some of that is very, very hateful. It's dark. We have an enemy. And the enemy jumped on my weakness with just, it literally rolled over me like a feeling. I would wake up for about a week wondering, am I even a Christian anymore?
Wow.
Like, I don't even know. I don't sense God. I don't believe. It was, I'm like, wait a second. Like, if you had literally taken my temperature 30 days ago, it was completely different. So I'm like, hang on. I think this is attack. I think this is what's going on. And then I started looking through the Gospels again. And if you look at the teaching of Jesus, as his life is coming to a climax, as he's getting to the end of his mission, he starts getting really urgent in his teaching. He starts warning about this stuff. And he talks about a figure that the prophet Daniel also talks about called desolation. And it's interesting, desolation in the book of Daniel in chapter 7, he says he will wear the saints down.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's it. That's what's happening in the world. And my clients, my staff, the people around me, I'm like, that's it. It's desolation. It's a feeling of emptiness or bereftness or apathy. It's the lack of strength to even choose what you know is good for you. But then it comes in as, I don't have any hope. I don't have faith anymore. And the good news is, this is not you, folks. This is the enemy. It was not me. I was under it in my hurting condition. So I just began to pray. I began texting friends. It was the first thing I did. I'm sitting in a parking lot when this is going on near a local park. And I just started texting friends saying, "Mayday, mayday, I'm going down. Pray for me." And so began to pray and simply reject. It just began like this. It says, "I reject this desolation. You cannot have my heart." And I had to do that. You know, we have a role to play, but then it was Jesus, 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 come and rescue. And he began to do that. And it took a couple of weeks here to come out from under this fog. And to come back to, wait a second, I love God. God is real. He's done so many things in my life. This is embarrassing. I love you, God. I reject desolation.
Wow. Powerful. Was there a time when things eventually resolved for you, or really was the call and is the call continued to be where you're standing just in faith and life and trusting for the breakthrough?
Some of it is resolved. Some of it has not yet. But I am not giving way to that horrible place of unbelief. No, it's terrible. I don't want that life.
It's bad for the soul, isn't it? I mean, you feel it when you're in that place.
It is. It's awful. Bad for your body. It's bad for your heart. Yes. And so choosing love, choosing God, and then that practice, again, that simple practice I gave everybody, just morning and evening, take some quiet to just love Jesus. And as I do that every day, my heart just turns back to him. And it's like, oh, there you are. you're right there.
Your willingness to share your story, I feel like this is, I mean, all of this has been so rich. But to me, this is the stake of the interview, because it's practical application about what to do when the enemy's trying to get you into a place of desolation, to send out your maydays, to say, I am yours, you are mine. I reject desolation. I am a child of God. As you say, we play a part. I love what you write here. You say, we need the glory of God, the regenerative, life-giving, life-sustaining glory of God in great measure. We need it right now. We need a greater measure of the manifest presence of Jesus in us. The glory of God is meant to fill our hearts and souls. We can ask for the supernatural grace. So, by all means, let's ask. I mean, we can be shameless, can't we, in the way we come to Jesus. More, 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 Lord, more of you.
Yes, yes. To be a soul is to be leaky, folks. That's just what we are. People tell you they love you, the next day it's gone. You have a wonderful accomplishment. Next day, it's gone. You're leaky. You have to have an unending source pouring into you. And that's God's part.
Amen. Well, you have a chapter titled The Assurance of Abundance. Unpack that one a bit for us.
Oh, I love this. I love it. Okay. So when you go through, so this is fascinating. The leading researcher on human burnout says that burnout is not from the major crises. He said it is the accumulation of 1,000 disappointments.
Wow.
Yeah. And so if you take the last 2 years, there was just bucket loads of disappointments. You couldn't go see your folks. You couldn't hold that wedding. You know, birthday parties were canceled. On it goes. Okay. So when that happens, it touches into the core conviction in our hearts of whether or not we will be cared for. And if you'll allow me just a little bit on attachment theory, you learn this as a child primarily from your mother or your primary caregivers. You learn that will your needs be met? When you're hungry, will you be fed? When you're sad, will you be comforted? When you're scared, will you be held? You learn the assurance that your needs will be met. Now, because we all live in a broken world, and even the best mom, you know, has her bad days, none of us got this in the measure that we needed it. That core conviction in our souls was not fully grounded. And then you go through rough times, and you got people hoarding toilet paper and just doing all kinds of crazy things. It's that hoarding. It's that fear of, I won't have enough. And so what I invite people to in the chapter is to ask God to heal the assurance of abundance in you. It comes from attachment love.
Wow.
And this is beautiful because I was talking about union early in the show. This is back to union. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Like, you are attached to me. I will never let you go. I will never forsake you. It's attachment love coming to our souls that grounds us in the assurance of abundance.
Just need to let that in for a moment. That is powerful. You also write in the book, we just got about, well, we got about 3-4 minutes left, but one of the ways to navigate the times is to practice benevolent detachment. Explain that, if you would.
Oh, okay. I'm glad we're ending on this, because, folks, here's your joy bomb for the day.
This, who doesn't need a joy bomb? Come on.
Yeah, come on. This is going to give you so much peace. So 1 Peter 5 stuff. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And I would be coming to Jesus in a time of prayer, and I'd be talking about something, and he'd say, hey, John, give everyone and everything to me. And I'm like, oh, yes, yes, Lord, that's really good. But then I just go right on with my obsession about my taxes or my car or whatever. He's like, hey, John, give everyone and everything to me. Benevolent detachment is something you can practice every day. Bedtime's a great time to do it. Where you just got to let it go, folks. The news that you just heard, the latest shooting, your kids' education, your parents' health, your own health, all of it. There's some point in your day where you just say, Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. You literally offload it onto him. And the relief that comes, like you will literally feel this in your body. You will feel the tension leave your body.
Love that so much. You know, your ministry is really marked by intimacy with God. And I would love to know, even though I've asked you this question before, I imagine it maybe is you may say something different or say the same thing, but on a deeper level. But what do you know about God now, John, that you didn't know prior to 2020?
Well, a couple things. That the return of Jesus is real. It's not fake. And it's a really important part of the story. But I've learned, Susie, that there is so much more available of God and his kingdom than I thought on this side of eternity. There's so much more available now. His presence, his joy, his playfulness, but also the help of heaven, the resources of heaven coming to our aid. There is so much more available than I thought there was 5 years ago.
I would say exactly the same thing. And that is the thing. Though the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord does raise up a standard. And, you know, he really does reach out and bless a waiting and watching world. And you know, we need to be waiting and watching and looking to him, because it feels to me like the heavens are pregnant with provision, that, you know, the storehouses are bursting with provision to take care of every need that we have. And God wants us out of a scarcity mindset, which you address in the book. And boy, if this is what the enemy wants, is us to be white knuckling and clinging to things that could pass away. And Jesus is saying, can you trust me? And I feel like your whole book is an invitation to resilience through trust, resilience through abiding. Would that be correct?
Yeah, exactly. Resilience through intimacy.
Amen.
Resilience through union with Christ.
Well, I pray you'll come back again sooner than last time, because we sure love and appreciate you and love talking with you, John. And I pray God's blessing on you as you launch this book, that God would protect you from enemy attacks. I know how that goes often. The attack is while you're writing and then when you launch. So I pray God's richest blessing. Thank you, my dear brother. We sure love you.
Thank you. So good to talk to you.
And you as well. John Eldridge, everyone, and his book is titled Resilient. Hey, we'll keep that drawing open for a little while. So we've got our live radio listeners. We're going to save a couple for our podcast listeners as well. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Be blessed. Walk intimately with God. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.